Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We're welcoming back George Arabian, who I am proud to announce is a published author now in our most recent Business Leaders edition of Mission Matters. George, hey, first, just wanted to say welcome back to the show and congrats.
Thank you. Very, very pleased to be here, Adam. I've been following your work for some time. It's just been great to be part of it.
Oh, man, George. So I'm excited today. We're going to, of course, do a deep dive into the book. We're going to also talk about what you're doing over at Steelhead Ventures as well. Also, what you're seeing in the marketplace, because I know that you're working with many leaders on team building. So I'm interested to see what you're seeing as well from your vantage point. But we will start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So, George, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. George, what mission matters to you?
Well, I think what you're doing is taking the unique stories, Adam, from a diverse set of leaders and bringing it forward. And I think in that sense, that's a unique asset that I think is valuable in the market. And I think what it really does is give a value add on understanding that the power of everyone to make an impact is their stories. So bringing those stories to market, I think, has a lot of value.
So, George, I'm excited to get into your background here because what you're doing is interesting to me present day. But how did this all start for you in terms of getting into business and the mentoring and the coaching and everything that you're doing in now?
I was fortunate, Adam, in the sense that I made a decision earlier in my career to choose an industry versus an opportunity. And I saw the wave coming early on in the growth of personal computers that I said, I'm going to make a commitment to jump into this sector of technology. Now, I wasn't trained in technology, be that, but I had a certain innate ability to build relationships and to communicate well. So I evolved right from the very start into a sales position that was initially an individual contributor, but quickly moved into the ranks of management and senior management and driving the revenue side of the business. Yeah. When I entered the industry, the what we call today that we take for granted, the internet was just starting. And I was fortunate to be recruited or was able to join companies that were instrumental in building out the infrastructure and some of the technologies that helped create the internet.
So you're
a background perspective.
So I wanna switch it up a bit here, and I do want to go further into the book itself that I'm so happy to have published with you. So your contribution to the book, so I took some notes here. So fostering team culture for business success. What was the inspiration for this?
Well, I think my experience in going through what I call the rapid growth stage of companies, where the technology was just finished, it was going from early stage to growth stage. And what I found was that the companies happened to make the most impact in the market were companies that built what I call a lasting team culture. They enabled and empower the early stage employees to grow alongside the company. A function of that was a founder or executive team's commitment to empowering the individuals that they hired from the very start. And that enabled building of a team culture that allowed the companies that I were with to go through the ups and downs. We stuck together as a team rather than a diverse group of individuals. Hmm.
And so some of the notes that I pulled out of the chapter, and we won't go through all these here today, but we'll pick on some of them. And for everybody watching this, though, of course, you can pick up a copy of the book. So we do sell books. So you'll see a link to that in the episode notes as well. But make hiring the very best people your first priority. Establish strong and clear communication. Make growth equal to empowering people. Some situations to consider along the way. Don't make reactive decisions. Keep the organization as flat as possible. Don't let growth or funding make you hire the wrong people. So that's just kind of a brief overview of the work overall. But I do want to pick on a couple of these, as I mentioned. So make hiring the very best people your first priority. How does one do that?
Well, I think the key to that is to understand that the early stage selection process of hiring both competent and qualified individuals, particularly as you get funded, all right, and the amount of capital that's increased from when I first started from maybe 20 to 50 top tier VCs to now 300 to 500, it's not the lack of funding. Okay, that is a factor in the marketplace as much as it was. So what I'm saying is from the very start, the priority needs to not just hire the most competent people and not to hire them as quick as possible. Take the time to hire the team players, which is a very subtle but powerful choice early on. Yeah. Get those that can operate as a team versus individuals. Mm-hmm. And how does one determine that? Well, I think it's the power of understanding how they value relationships and how that you build infrastructure in your company from the start to build significant lasting relationships, both internal and external. Mm-hmm. So the key to growth for when I started was to bring on partners, and in my case, across the globe, in Europe and Asia. I built out Europe twice and Asia twice. Mm-hmm. And the founders and the executive team that I was with empowered me to do that. Mm-hmm. They said, George, we know that you could communicate, but you need to build the type of relationships that will scale the company ahead of the revenue curve. Yeah. Were those folks that we hired, the partners, the channel partners, in some cases joint ventures with a Japanese conglomerate, had to believe in what we were doing, and more importantly, that we would trust them to spend ahead of the revenue curve. And that was a function of the power of personal relationships and the fact that I was empowered by my founders or by my executive team to communicate effectively and make the right decision. Mm-hmm. So I felt part of the culture. I felt empowered by the culture. Yeah. And so that was just a key point in selecting partners. It was the power of professional relationships that allowed us to scale. And that's a function of a team culture. So
I don't think anybody, or maybe I'm wrong. So you correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think anybody intentionally, wants to hire the wrong people, right?
That's right.
Right. Like nobody's saying like, this is okay. I'll take this one. I don't think that's happening. How do you know if you're on the right track and hiring the right people? Are there indicators? Are there ways to kind of be able to tell?
It's a great question, and it's one that I think is often part of the most challenging part of hiring, particularly as you have the funding. Yeah. I think the key to that is making sure that you understand that you have growth, you have to achieve that growth, and you have, if you're funded, particularly in the early stage, is it's key not to overspend on hiring because you have the capital. It's the key is to bring people in and extend the length of time that you're getting to know them. And more importantly, those that know them through references and context to see how they will be profiled as individual contributors that can be superstars, but can they fit in a team? So don't overhire, is what I said. Don't overspend, even though you have the capital.
Yeah.
And the dictates of funding are clear. You have to scale up. So part of that is also the transparency and communication that you have that allows you to get to know folks both in the hiring process and after. And the key to that, and the point I make in the article, is building a communication infrastructure that allows those from the very bottom of your organization to communicate up both what is working and what isn't, and allowing that to be acceptable. That's the key to building both growth and team culture, is communication infrastructure and making sure that people that are on the front lines have direct access towards the very top. That's one key point I like to add to scaling up a company and building team culture in parallel to scaling a company.
Now, I don't want to oversimplify, but maybe what are some of those components that clear communication and kind of building that infrastructure could look like within a company?
I think it's really important to have multi-level meetings on a regular basis, where it becomes not only formalized, but it's also that those communications at multi-level happens on a regular basis, and the very top executives are part of that, not necessarily in every meeting, but those meetings are where people bring both sharing what is going on in the front lines, could be in their personal situation, but those meetings happen on a regular basis. So it builds trust. And that's the key to culture. So making sure that you're not just hiring people, but you're building a team communication structure that starts from the very beginning of a company's growth. So I think that's really key. And I also think keeping an organization flat, Adam, is very, very critical. And I'll give you a great example of that, given my own experience. I, in my most recent executive role in driving revenue as a VP of sales, had Amazon as a client. And Amazon, I know there's been a lot said about it, but my own experience was it was extraordinary how they kept the organization flat. They did not have a lot of levels. As a matter of fact, they had very, very few levels besides the very top executives. Everyone was flat. Now, what was amazing about that is they also compensated people the same. There was one base salary. Now, that doesn't mean that people that are making a larger contribution, that have more responsibility, don't get paid more. They got paid more through stock options, not base or bonuses, for the most part. This was my end. And what they empowered was a flat organization in which they encouraged rapid experimentation. So failure was not just encouraged, it was part of rapid learning that allowed them to build success, as an example. And that's building team culture, where you're encouraged to experiment, you're encouraged to take risks, but you're also supported. And so their culture was extraordinary in that sense. That's just another example.
I like that you bring up Amazon, because, you know, maybe some may watch this or may think and say, you know, that'll work for this type of business, but doesn't work for ours. So Amazon, pretty big business, right? If it can work for them, I'd argue that it can probably work for most businesses out there, right?
Exactly. And it's truly been extraordinary in how they have not only made it through the various stages of growth, but how they've repeatedly and consistently innovated across sector, right? That's a function of not just team culture, but the culture of experimentation and allowing team members to experiment. Mm-hmm. And instead of looking at failure as an end, they look at it as just the beginning of rapid innovation that allows them to get to success quicker. Mm-hmm. And that's a very extraordinary culture, but it's also builds trust and team culture that in many ways, I think, helped them achieve the success that they did.
So, George, I do want to take some time today to also talk about the work that you're doing at Steelhead Ventures. Maybe for some of our newer audience that didn't catch some of the previous work we've done together, maybe give them a little bit of an overview of just the company overall.
Well, the company itself, in addition to my role as a sales leader on behalf of founders and as a VP of sales as an executive role, I also was able and fortunate to be a managing partner of Steelhead Ventures, working with a lot of the leading accelerators such as Y Combinator and the Alchemists here in the Silicon Valley here. But I started that in 2014, and we invested in the very early stage, the seed stage. So we were purposely investing in founders that not just had a vision, but we felt in a very substantial way were born to be doing what they were doing. And in that sense, that's a very strong statement, but everything in their career led to this point where they had a set of insights, and that's what we look for, that was unique to their experience and therefore had a unique insight into how to scale a company and how to identify a market opportunity. So Steelhead invested only in the early stage. We did very little follow-on rounds, but we did that, and I'm still a managing partner, and the fund has been successful, thank goodness, and it's pretty typical. Some fail, some are living dead, and some are really successful. And I don't think those metrics necessarily or percentages change, but that is the work that I am currently doing in the sense of we're not making new investments per se, but we are continuing to work with some of the companies that are in the portfolio. And that's kind of a snapshot of Steelhead Ventures. And in parallel to that, I also continued my career in sales leadership.
And so working with founders and young founders, I mean, tell me a little bit more. Give me a little bit more insight into what you look for. You mentioned some of it, which is to somebody that really wanted to be doing what they're doing, right? But give me a little bit more insight into like your process around working with founders.
Well, I think it was very much not listening to necessarily the opportunity. Don't get me wrong. You obviously have to believe in an opportunity in the marketplace. But oftentimes founders will spend a disproportionate amount of their time pitching what the opportunity is in the marketplace. And what I often look for was what's the personal and professional stories behind the founders. And oftentimes what I tried to do, and we were fortunate to have the transparency from founders, is for them to talk about both their background and their successes and, more importantly, their failures. And when you're doing that to an investor, you have to be very confident to talk about your failures. And so what we looked for was not just two things. We looked, in addition to the market opportunity, we look for the values and character of the founder to be a leader in the sense of looking at their background and how they can enable a team around them, and also not be dictatorial in the sense of, you know, dictating. How do you empower a team? So one of it was character, but also the unique insights that a founder brought because of their experience. So, for instance, a couple of brothers that didn't have the type of necessarily education you would look at founders, but had a very substantial background and starting from a very young age in the construction business and allowed them to gain insights on how heavy capital equipment, for instance, is not available to most contractors because you had to buy it instead of lease it. And that plus their insights in technology was a very successful investment in us. But we look for experience right from the start, their backgrounds, and then what insights did that experience give them? So we looked at their ability to tell stories, their values, and their character. Easier said than done, but I'm just giving you a sense of criteria that we used.
And I understand that you also do, even outside of the, I believe outside of some of the companies that you're working with, you're also engaged in consulting as well. Is that my off on that one, or is that correct?
That's correct. And I'm not actively working with many of the companies because of the time that we invested now currently. So what I did is take a lot of the experience that I have, and I'm doing an emerging leader program, for instance. You know, on my website it shows, or my LinkedIn profile. In this case, I'm doing it through a third-party organization. But I work with young leaders, and very much around leadership competencies. And that's, again, an area that I'm passionate about. I was fortunate to be mentored early in my career and shown a lot of things that I would not have gotten on my own learning curve. And so I try to give back in that sense. So emerging leaders is one area of focus. And that is an area that I can am working in and will continue to work in.
What is it like? What is it like working with the emerging leaders and working with that segment? Like, give us a little bit of insight on that. What is that like?
I think the real key for me is to not have any assumptions about what I think they want to learn, or I want to give them, or I want to teach. I think the ground rules is to become open to a transparency in communication that allows us all to be fairly vulnerable about what we don't know. And that's a key to building the type of content and the type of communication that accelerates learning. We have some principles around 12 core competencies of leadership, but those are exactly what they are. They're principles. So how do you decode to take some of the concepts that we have and apply it in a meaningful way to those that are in the earlier stage of their career? So part of that is creating a transparent peer group among them. So we are encouraging a lot of peer-to-peer learning versus teacher or leader-to-class learning. And so I think peer-to-peer learning is critical, and allowing them to learn from each other. I also think a core values around being both transparent about your situation, being vulnerable, and being very distinct in how you communicate in a very efficient and effective way about what is working and what isn't. So part of it's creating the values that allow transparency and meaningful conversations to happen, but not one way. The whole key to this is two-way communication and learning from each other. And that's a core concept that I try to stay adamant about and try to encourage both the team members in the group as well as how to communicate to them to be a core principle we stay very strict about. Hmm.
Well, George, I just have to say it has been great having you back on the show. I'm thrilled to have published your work and to keep on promoting and spreading your message out there and to our readers and our listeners. That being said, I just have to ask, we're recording this in January of 2023, another year. What's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for your business ventures?
Well, I think more than anything, I'm going to continue to expand the ability to give back. And I think there's a couple ways to do that. One is through leadership development, whether it's the current effort or more. The other is giving back to some of the, I actually live here in Northern California, and making sure that I can also impact the community, particularly the youth here in Sonoma, which is primarily Hispanic roots, and making sure that opportunities that might be career opportunities is also made visible to them that they might not otherwise have. So part of it is doing some of that work. But again, it'll be focused around leadership and leadership development, particularly in empowering those to accelerate their capabilities to lead from the earlier stage of their career on.
That's great. Well, George, if somebody's watching this and they want to continue to follow your journey, what's the best way for them to do that and to learn more?
Well, I think LinkedIn is always a way, but I think my email, whether it's my personal email, is a way to reach out, george@georgearabian.com or george@steelheadvc.com is a way. But I'll also be available via LinkedIn as well. I think those are probably efficient ways to get in touch with me.
Fantastic. And we'll put your LinkedIn link in the show notes so people can just click on it and head right on over and check out your profile. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging with the platform, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, and really what gets them motivated and fired up to go out there and make a difference in the marketplace. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or engaging or fun or exciting to you, hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And George, again, so thrilled to have published your work and to finally, we've been working on this book for a long time, man. It's great to finally have you out there. And thanks again for coming back on the show.
Thank you, Adam. It's a pleasure to be here.